A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus departed from there and came to his native place, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astonished. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What kind of wisdom has been given him? What mighty deeds are wrought by his hands? Is he not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" They took offense at him. Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his native place and among his own kin and in his own house." So he was not able to perform any mighty deed there, apart from curing a few sick people by laying hands on them. He was amazed at their lack of faith. The Gospel of the Lord. Well, how many of you have been rejected when you've tried to reach out to a friend or a relative who's away from the faith, and you don't get anywhere? Instead, you just get scorn and skepticism. Well, Jesus knows what you're going through, because he's experienced it himself in this gospel. You know, this gospel takes place after Jesus has been baptized by John the Baptist in the Jordan River, and the Spirit comes down upon him. And the Father says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And then it says in the scripture that the Spirit drove him out into the wilderness for 40 days, where he prayed and fasted and prepared for his mission. And then it relates how he came back with the power of the Holy Spirit and began to travel through all the towns in Galilee, in the area where he was from. And he did great miracles and many healings, and he preached the coming of the kingdom of God. And it said his fame spread all throughout the land. And so today's gospel picks up where he comes back to Nazareth, to his hometown. And this is the reception he gets. Where did this guy get all this? Who does he think he is? And he could do no great works there because of their lack of faith. And he says, "A prophet is not without honor except in his native place and among his own people." And so some might take this as a lesson. Just keep your mouth shut. Don't say anything. Keep the peace. And yet, that's not what Jesus is saying. That first reading from the book of Ezekiel is pretty powerful, where God calls Ezekiel to be a prophet. "The Lord spoke to me, and the Spirit entered me and set me on my feet. And I heard the one speaking to me say, 'Son of man, I am sending you to the Israelites, rebels who have rebelled against me. They and their ancestors have revolted against me to this very day, hard of face and obstinate of heart. Are they to whom I send you? And you shall say to them, Thus says the Lord God. And whether they heed or resist, they shall know that a prophet has been among them.'" In other words, he's sending Ezekiel out there without a lot of hope that they're going to be heeded, but that the people will know that the prophet has come and spoken the truth to them, the truth that comes from God. And that's what we definitely have to keep in mind, because we're all prophets. Through our baptism, we're all given that prophetic voice to speak the truth. But how do we exercise that? How do we actually do it? The second reading was from St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians, where he's recounting all the times he suffered for preaching the gospel. And we know he had been shipwrecked, and he had been scourged several times, and stoned and left for dead and rejected. And he had to deal with his own weakness. He said, a thorn was given to me in my side, a thorn in the flesh, an angel of Satan to beat me and keep me from being too elated. And three times I begged the Lord to take this thorn from my side. And three times he said, my grace is enough for you. My power will be shown in your weakness. So in other words, keep going. Even though you've got this whatever mysterious defect or problem, the Lord wants you to keep going and not get tired. And St. Paul understands finally. Therefore, I am content with weakness and insult and hardship and persecution and constraints for the sake of Christ, because when I am weak, then I am strong, because the power of God will work through all my weakness. So the message is clear. We need to speak and we need to evangelize, even at the cost of being rejected. A few nights ago, I met up with some old friends from high school. You know, I mean old, you know, they're as old as me. And none of them have any faith. It was kind of sad to see. I don't remember them having a lot of faith when I was young, but that didn't matter. So it was kind of awkward. But they know I'm a priest, and it's kind of a thorn in their side. There's no way. But it's a seed that's planted in them. And I'm sure all of you have experienced that with family and friends who have distanced themselves from God or drifted away or never really had a relationship with God. It's awkward and difficult to deal with them. And we could make the mistake of just dumping everything on them and telling them they're wrong, but that usually doesn't work unless the Holy Spirit's prepared their hearts to accept a heavy dose of the truth. And we need a lot of prudence in those moments, dealing with family and friends, because, like Jesus says, no prophet is without honor except in his native place, among his own people. So there are a few things I think we need to do to be able to plant a seed in those around us who are away from God. And the first I'd say is stay authentic. Be who you are. You're a man or a woman of God. And you've got that identity that's been given to you by Jesus Christ. People are always more comfortable when we're mediocre. But we can't let that happen. We need to stay focused on growing in holiness, in authenticity, and that'll be a sign. And that'll be something that draws them. Maybe right, not right now. But the Holy Spirit is active in them. We have to believe that they're called to holiness as well. They're all called. Every single human person is called to a relationship with Jesus Christ. So we need to stay authentic. Our temptation could be to water it down a little bit, smooth off the rough edges. No. Stay authentic. Second would be to persevere. Week after week, month after month, year after year. You in your relationship with God. No watering it down. No getting tired. No throwing in the towel, that it's useless. Perseverance in the good. People will notice that. Third thing we need to do is pray and intercede for them. Without that, there's nothing good going to happen in their souls. Chances are, if you got friends or family members that are away from God, chances are pretty good that you are the only one who's going to pray for them. There's not some little old lady in China praying for your friend. God put you in their lives for you to be the intercessor. For you, the one, be the one that gets them the grace that they need. So if you pray and sacrifice, then God's grace can begin to work in them. Fourth, you need to listen to the Holy Spirit and look for those opportunities to speak prudently. But sometimes we just shoot from the hip, and that's not the way. We need to be prayerful and silent and listen for the Holy Spirit when He gives us opportunities. We need to be attentive and docile. Recognize that we're instruments of God. He takes us seriously. And He's going to use us to convert others. But we need to listen to Him and watch for the signs. And so in these four ways, staying authentic, persevering, praying and interceding and sacrificing, and listening for the Spirit, we will draw people back to Christ. No doubt. Because God wants them more than we do. God loves them more than we do. All we need to do is be good collaborators with Jesus.